Here you got 12. See, you know, this gives me hope as a pastor. Oh, God, thank you. This gives me hope as a pastor. That Jesus picked 12. That God in the flesh picked 12. That all-knowing, all-powerful, all Holy Ghost anointed, Jesus picked 12. And they had problems.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church right here in the city of Pittsburgh. We would like to thank you for joining us today as we continue in the Psalms. Today, we are looking at Psalm 23, Bumping Heads with Other Saints. We ask that God would bless you as you listen today.
All right. If you pull out the notes that we have of the sermon in the bulletin today, many of you remember a couple of weeks ago I put a survey in the bulletin asking the saints to fill it out, and it was concerning some messages that might be meaningful to you. And we're going to be dealing with the results of that survey. The first question, I believe, was asked if you needed or if there was a series that would personally address the needs that you have, you know, what would that be? And so, you know, we'll give you the results of that when we get to that series of messages. And then we asked the question, what about your unsaved friends, that if you could bring an unsaved family member, co-worker, friend, what message would you want them to hear? And we have the results of that also that you will be hearing later on in a message. And the last question that was on the survey was asked, what message do you think Bethany needs to hear most? And as a result of that, let me say this, that we probably had, there was probably over 50 surveys that were turned back in. And it was pretty much overwhelming as to one of the messages that Bethany needs to hear. Now, this could be good news or bad news. I'm not sure which one. Let me just read as we look at that first block there, the reason for this particular series. A couple of weeks ago, many members in the congregation filled out a survey from the pastor concerning sermons addressing specific needs. In one section, the question was asked, what message do you think Bethany needs to hear the most? Now, I'll say this, the unrivaled. That's the unrivaled top answer. There was no answers even close. The unrivaled top answer centered on the subject of dealing with dissension among members. Wow. Wow. The upcoming series will focus on this subject, and prayerfully its application will reach beyond the walls of the church into families, communities, and places of employment. All right, so this message is not just for the folks here in the church, but it's for you to apply in your family and on your job, community. You know, there was a saying that says to live above with those we love. Oh, that will be glory. But to live below with those we know, now that's quite a different story. So we're going to heaven. We're going to heaven, and we have to learn how to work together, how to get along with one another, because, see, in heaven, there's not going to be any option. You know, I think that some of the folk that we may have tried to avoid down here, that God is just going to put us right in the same room with them and say, okay, yeah, now y'all work together for the rest of eternity. We've got to learn how to work through. And the title of the message today is, and actually the title of the series is Bumping Heads with Other Saints. And we're looking at the 23rd Psalm, and in particular, we're going to focus on verse 5, and even in verse 5, we're going to boil it down to one phrase in Psalm 23 and verse 5. And it says here in Psalm 23 And we know that the 23rd Psalm is a psalm where David is comparing God to a shepherd. And he says the same way that the shepherd watches over the sheep is the same way that God takes care of his people. And in verse 5, he says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." You know, and I wish I could preach this 23rd. There's some good stuff in this 23rd Psalm. I'm even talking about from the theological standpoint. I'm talking about from the fact of the way that a shepherd takes care of sheep. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil." And that's what we want to focus on here today. "Thou anointest my head with oil." And you're going to see how this all ties in a second. Man, I'm going to ask that you bear with me as we read the introduction, because I think that this will make it clear as to what I'm trying to say when we talk about bumping heads with other saints. So if it says right there, the biblical basis for this series. Now, many of you, and I don't know if you've ever heard of this book or if you've ever read it, it's a book by Philip Keller, and it's called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And actually, he was a pastor and a shepherd. And so he wrote the book from that perspective. He wrote the book because he was exposed to raising sheep, and he knew the habits of sheep. He knew how sheep thought. He knew how to take care of them. And as a result of that, he was writing this book to let you know what it's really like when it talks about God being our shepherd. So that's the title of the book. Philip Keller wrote it, and it's A Shepherd Looks at at Psalm 23. And in this book, when he gets to this particular section, he talks about the fall of the year. And he says, in the fall of the year, the rams, and you know the rams are the sheep with the horns on them. He said that they try to vie, or they try to impress, as many men do, try to impress the ladies. These rams try to impress the females. And one of the things that they'll do is that they'll run at each other and butt heads. All right, and so let's pick it up from there. So he says, in the flock, there's also subtle changes in reference to speaking in the fall. This is a season of what he calls the rut of mating, of great battles between the rams for possession of the ewes. The neck of the monarch swell and grow strong. They strut proudly across the pasture and fight furiously for favors of the ewes. The crash of heads and thud of colliding bodies can be heard through the hours of the day and night. So they're out there just bumping head all day, all night. Why? Because they're trying to gain power. They're trying to assert their authority. The shepherd knows all about this. He knows that some of the sheep will and can actually kill, injure, and maim each other in these deadly combats. So he decides on a very simple remedy. At this season of the year, he will catch the rams and smear their heads with grease. Then when they collide in their great crashing battles, the lubricant would make them glance off each other in such a ludicrous way that they stood there feeling rather stupid and frustrated. In this way, much of the heat and tension was dissipated and little damage was done. So that's what the shepherd does. The shepherd anoints the head of the sheep with this grease or with this oil so that when these rams collide, they actually glance off of each other. They actually reflect off of each other, doing very little damage because the impact is lessened because the grease causes them to slide off of one another. Well, what does this have to do with God's care for his people? Anointing the believer with oil, the Holy Spirit. Among God's people, there is a considerable amount of knocking each other. Whoa, man. No, that don't happen in the body of Christ. That don't happen here. Among God's people, there is a considerable amount of knocking each other. Somehow, if we don't see eye to eye with the other person, we persist in trying to assert ourselves and become top sheet. A good many become badly bruised and hurt this way. And you know, the sad thing is some people become bruised and hurt and they walk away and just go somewhere and lay on the side and just lick their wounds and never come back and get into the battle. To forestall and prevent this sort of thing from happening among God's people, our shepherd loves to apply the precious ointment of the presence of his gracious spirit to our lives. It will be recalled that just before his crucifixion, our Lord, in dealing with his 12 disciples, who even then were caught up in jealous bickering and rivalry for prestige, told of the coming of the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. Because of his being sent to them, he said they would know peace. He went on to say that his people would be known everywhere for their love for one another. And so that's what Philip Keller says about this whole idea of anointing. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that if you're anywhere where there's another person, you might work in an office where it's just you and another person. You know what? There's going to be some bumping up against each other. There's going to be some bumping the heads. If you live in a home, husbands and wives, there's going to be times when you bump up against each other. And if we don't know, as believers, how to bump up against one another, if we don't understand that there's a technique as Christians to bumping up against one another, if we don't understand that, then you know what's going to happen as a result of that? We're going to have bitterness in our heart. There's going to be unforgiving spirits among us. There's going to be people walking around battered, bruised, and wounded when we don't apply the ointment, when we don't apply the oil of the Holy Spirit to be able to deal with issues that come up. You know, I don't care who you are. You know, as perfect as I am, would you believe that my wife has problems at sometimes with me? Would you? See, we bump up against each other. It doesn't matter who you are. You're going to bump up against somebody. There's going to be something that will come up where you may disagree, where you may not share the same opinion, and some way you've got to, because see, there's nothing wrong with bumping. It's that when injury takes place that people don't work on and they don't try to heal, that's when the problem comes. Conflict in many situations is good, because conflict actually can be a stepping stone to growth. Conflict can be something that makes you stronger. You know, if you never have conflict sometime, if you just want to be around a bunch of yes people, then I have bad news for you, that you're setting yourself up for a fall. So conflict is a natural part of life. As a matter of fact, if you'll turn your notes over, you will see that in the scripture, some of the greatest saints of God had conflict. Some of God's greatest saints had conflict. We see, first of all, that there was conflict between Jesus and Peter. That Peter, who many believe was the head of the one of the great leaders of the church, Peter, who Jesus challenged and said, you know, upon this rock I'll build my church, when he was telling Peter about this, where his church would be built, Jesus, who entrusted Peter with many things, Peter, who stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached and thousands of folks got saved, you mean to tell me that Jesus and Peter had problems? Yeah, they sure did. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And what we see is that conflict is not banned from anybody's relationship. Conflict is not banned from anybody's life. That conflict is a normal part of your existence being here on this earth. Now, we want to identify where this conflict arises sometimes. What is the source of the conflict? And we see here in Matthew 16 that the source of the conflict was Satan. And you know, here goes the bad thing. Sometimes we as believers, we allow Satan to get all up in the midst of us. We allow Satan to wreak havoc. Boy, Brother Jasper, I wish I had that cordless, man. But I realize it's not working this morning, so we're going to work our best. You know what? What should have just been saints that bumped their heads, and because they were anointed with the Holy Spirit, just glanced off of each other, and that's all it should have been, it ends up being damage done. And then once that damage is done, Satan gets in there. And you know what? Satan is just looking for an opportunity to get in. You know, you heard the story about the man who was thinking about selling his house. And he got to the point where he took it off the market and he didn't want to sell the house. But somebody came and pressured him, and they pressured him, and they pressured him, and finally, reluctantly, he said, I'll sell the house. He said, but you know what? He said, you see, I'm going to own one thing in this house, and that's this nail. He said, man, you're going to have the nail. And he put the nail right over the door, the post of the door. He said, man, you're going to have that nail. I don't care about that. I want the house. And so he moved in the house, and one day the previous owner decided he wanted the house back. And he came and asked the guy to give him the house back. He said, no, I love this house. He said, I've set things up the way I want it. I'm not giving this house back. And so he took the carcass of a dead animal and hung it on the nail. And the smell got so putrefying because he owned that nail, that the man ended up selling him the house back. Now, what's the point of that story? The point of the story is this. All Satan needs is a nail. And he'll come in and stink up relationships. He'll come in and bring rot and death and disease. That's all he needs. What normally should have been two believers bumping heads. Nothing wrong with bumping heads. You're going to do that. That's a natural part of life, bumping heads. What it should have been, two believers just bumping heads and glancing off of one another, now it has given rise an occasion for Satan to slip in there and cause problem. Look at Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. He turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that are of God, but those things that are of men. What insight that Jesus has here. Jesus looks beyond the natural circumstances. Jesus looks beyond the flesh and blood. You remember in Ephesians chapter 6, he says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this present age. So when you get in a conflict with somebody, sometimes you need to come to the reality that it's not a conflict with an individual, but there's a greater struggle that's going on here, that this thing is a spiritual battle. We let Satan get up in it. And we let Satan, what once was a loving relationship where people had fellowship and they enjoyed the presence, enjoyed being in the company of one another, now they can't stand to look at the other person. Now, you know, if they see the other person coming, they're trying to get as far away as they can. You know, in church, they make sure that they sit all the way on the other side so that they don't have to even get close to that person to try to shake their hand or anything when church is over. And then if they see them coming one way, they slip up the aisle up the other way. You see, what has happened? Satan has gotten in a relationship. And, you know, sometimes Satan gets in there and we don't even know it. You know, we don't know it. Or we know it and we don't care. You know, we don't care. Look, in the middle of the paper, I saw this. As I was doing my research yesterday, I saw this and I said, well, let me put this in here. I think this is kind of interesting. Right in the middle of the paper. On that second page, it says, but I'm right and they are wrong. We live in a culture that daily bows at the altar of personal opinion. There's a self-directed idolatry that centers on me and my rights. Listen to this. This is deep. The motto of many, even many church people, is, "I'd rather be right than reconciled." This statement has various cousins I'm sure that you've met. I'd rather be right than happy. I'd rather be right than at peace. I'd rather win than be in one accord. So what are many of God's people doing? In the home, in the church, on the job, what are they doing? They're bowing at the altar of being right. Oh, I'm right, and that's all that's important. I'm right, and that's the only thing that means anything. Meanwhile, you got a trail of blood over here of people that have been wounded just because you have worship at the altar of being right. You got folks that are bruised. You got folks that don't want to have anything to do with God anymore because you have wounded them. But you know what? The only thing that's important is that you're right. I remember I was watching the weather one morning on one of the major weather channels. And there was one of these nice, you know, prissy news ladies. You know, she was on there. And she was saying, you know, the guy was giving the weather report, and he was saying that, well, you know what? He said, you know, we got rain over most of the city. And she broke back in, and she said, well, you know, when I got up to come in this morning, it wasn't really raining at my house. And the weatherman said to her, well, you know, that's the only thing that really counts is that it wasn't raining at your house. And I told my wife, I said, look like they got a little dissension there on the newscast. But you know, the point is that for some people, that's the only thing that counts, you know, is that you're right and that your feelings are protected. And in the meantime, while you are exercising your rightness and you are refusing to reconcile, you are exercising your rightness and you are refusing to be on one accord, Satan comes in. And that's when Satan does his best work. You know, when we have a sense of, well, you know, I'm doing this because I'm protecting myself. I'm doing this because, you know, I don't want to open myself up. You know, in the body of Christ, we need to realize that sometimes that's what it's all about. You know, that to be open and honest with brothers and sisters in Christ so that you can work through issues. Instead of walking around with your jaws all tight and pouting and with your arms folded and saying, no, I'm not going to reconcile. You know, that's what is more important here? That you go to stand before God knowing that you had something that you were trying to hold on to, or to stand in the presence of God saying, look, you know, God, I put my rights on the side because I felt that it was more important for me to be reconciled to my brother or sister. What do you think God's going to be more pleased with? But yet and still, you know, like I said, many of us, we let Satan come in there, and Satan destroys. He destroys relationships. And that's what Jesus saw. Thank God for the insight that Jesus had to see that this thing was more about, it was more than just Peter. It was about a spiritual battle that was going on. The second thing we see is that sometimes conflict arises because people have unmet needs. They have unmet needs. In Acts chapter 6, and what we're trying to show you is that conflicts do arise in families, on the job, in church. That's just a part of life. And the key is how you handle it. How do you respond to conflict when it arises? Chapter 6 of Acts in verse 1. In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Bumping Heads with Other Saints. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message from Psalm 23, Bumping Heads with Other Saints, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org or give us a call, 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoringinjesus.org, you can view more than 400 teachings that are listed there. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchoring in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoringinjesus.org, or you can send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. The title of our program, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, I would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.